buying time, killing people, that's in line. Lower class and social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, they burn the kids. No one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight and die, cause God forgive.
Oh,
selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, they burn the kids. No one leaves gun, trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. Today is November the 1st of 2016. And I always love this stuff, you know. It was warm today, or it got warm. It says presently here, where I am in Ontario, it says it's 18 degrees above zero. Feels like 22 degrees. And I'm sure I'll hear something from somebody. See, it's the 1st of November and it's warm. It must be global warming. Well, not really. The record high was 22.8 degrees way back in 1950, but they never seemed to notice any of this stuff. And so things just continue down the road of bizarreness. So, you know, I haven't had a lot of time. We're doing a commercial job right now, so we're tearing floors and pouring concrete, man. But I noticed this Julian Assange guy. I never paid any attention to this guy because I don't care about elections, and I don't care about Hillary Clinton's emails. Couldn't care less. But this outfit, WikiLeaks, has been pumping emails out forever. And people seem right taken by the guy. And so, you know, then I saw him holding up a UN document with the UN logo on it. Because I guess the UN is saying that they can't extradite Assange because they said so. So I thought, well, there you go. That outs this guy. Because if this guy was a serious player for freedom and real information, he would have been out in the UN forever instead of holding up another papers with a logo saying that they can't extradite him. And so much for Julian Assange. And then I went and took a quick look at him there one night, and he got the same medal as Nelson Mandela and a few of these other players, globalist players, UN players, One World Order people. And so he's in the same group as them. And he's with a whole group, if I can dig this out. It's a few days since I looked at this. Actually, I think I first looked at this probably last week. And if I can dig any of these links that I had open on the guy. The man, I don't know how it is, and I mean, I never paid any attention to the guy because, like I said, I don't care. But I don't understand how it is that people have been hanging on this guy. Oh, he's going to release some more emails. Like, are people all brain dead or something? I mean, it took me, like, no time at all when I went and took a look at this guy to figure out he's a player. And, you know, I'm seeing people say, oh, he's our hero. Well, if you think Assange is your hero, then you ain't too freaking bright. Now, what else we got here? The Sydney Peace Prize. The Sydney Peace Prize is awarded by the Sydney Foundation, a not-for-profit organization associated with the University of Sydney, which you know is crooked right away. The prize promotes peace with justice and the practice of nonviolence and encouraging public interest and discussion about issues of peace, social justice, human rights, and nonviolent conflict resolution. The city of Sydney is a major supporter of the Sydney Peace Prize. This involves a significant financial contribution, yada, yada, yada. So we go down here. Peace Prize. Winners, 98, we got Professor Muhammad Yunus, and then we have the Archbishop in 99, Desmond Tutu, which we know is a globalist, and a One World Order dude, and we have Xana Gusmano, poet, artist, and president of East Timor. Governor General of Australia, 202, Mary Robinson, former United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, 203, Dr. Hanan Ashoui, Palestinian academic and human rights campaigner, and it goes on and on and on, and we have down here, we have Noam Chomsky, who is a one-worlder and a communist. And we have Julian Burnside, Australian barrister, human rights and refugee advocate. Okay, so he's got a prize, and the refugee advocate is bringing in all the migrants. George Giddos in 2015, Australian artist who chronicles conflicts around the world. And in 2016, Naomi Klein, Canadian journalist, author, and prominent activist for climate justice. Well, it's all fraud, folks. So the gold medal for peace with justice, the foundation also occasionally awards a special gold medal for significant contributions to peace and justice. There have only been four recipients of this award in the foundation's 14-year history. South African statesman Nelson Mandela, who correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he was a card-carrying communist. The Dalai Lama, who is absolutely a one-worlder. And this other guy, who I don't know, or girl, Des-Eku Ikeda. And, of course, who else would we have but WikiLeaks publisher Julian Assange? So, if anybody thinks that Julian Assange is anything more than a globalist player playing on the people, you're just ignorant. You've been suckered. There's an old saying, let no man deceive you. Well, little Julian Assange has deceived you mightily. And why do you think he's, you know, saying his horse shit on major newscasts? Right? Because he's a player. If he wasn't a player, you'd never hear about the guy. Period. And so, everybody that's got this award is a globalist and one worlder. And I put a couple posts out about Julian, if I see them going by, you know, and people are still posting. He's a hero, and he's holding the UN document in his hand. I mean, what does it take? What the hell does it possibly take? I really find this kind of stuff is very, it's not depressing so much as it's curious that people still get suckered this easy. You know? The whole thing's a fraud, folks. Forget these people. There's no such thing as a hero. If there's a hero, it's going to be you. Period. It's going to be you going to your local council meeting, not waiting for Julian to release some more emails. No, it's the hero's right. Well, the hero's wearing your boots, actually. Get in your boots, get up to your local council and call these clowns out. You know, the ones that are implementing the global agenda at the local level, designed to destroy your nation. You want a hero? Be a hero. Gather up your friends and neighbors and hit the council meetings and hold their treasonous, fraudulent, deceptive little feet to the fire. They've been having an absolutely free run, and it has to stop. But that's all I'm going to talk about, Julian. I could go backwards through where I was studying the guy. And, you know, I may do a show on the guy. I may do a whole show on the guy someday. But this is just a heads up. If you think Julian Assange is anything but a globalist player, then you best go do a little bit of research. Okay? That's all I got to say on the matter tonight. I'm really freaking tired and sore. That's okay. Anyways, what we got here now is, this is big, this is huge news. I mean, this is huge, huge news. This is big news, folks. This is bigger than Clinton, this is bigger than Trump, this is bigger than the Pope. This is huge. Because it has to do with scientists. And I really dislike scientists. But anyways, scientists apparently have discovered the world's first fossilized dinosaur brain. That's right. The first fossilized dinosaur brain. This is from Sunday, October the 30th. Jamie Hiscox knew right away that he had found something special. It was more than a decade ago that the fossil hunter discovered an uncanny brown pebble. I don't know what an uncanny brown pebble means. I know what a brown pebble means, but an uncanny brown pebble in Sussex, England. The scientist's little brown pebble discovery has now been identified as the first known example of a fossilized brain of a dinosaur. So we can take from this story so far that dinosaurs had very little brains, because it says here the pebble has been identified as a dinosaur brain. The findings on the fossil were published in a special publication of the Geological Society of London in tribute to Oxford University professor Martin Brasier, who passed away in 2014. Now, Oxford is where you have the Rhodes Scholars coming from. You have, when you go through all the Rhodes Scholars and the Oxford University and all the universities attached to the Oxford University, then you will find that these people are basically communists. and they want a world order. And they'll lie and tell you any shit they think you'll swallow in order to get you convinced that global warming is real, vaccines are good, yada, 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 yada. But apparently this, what did I say his name was here? Jamie Hiscox. He goes on to say, I have always believed I had something special, Hiscox said in a statement from the University of Cambridge. I noticed there was something odd about the preservation, and soft tissue preservation did not go through my mind. Martin realized its potential significance right at the beginning, but it wasn't until years later that its true significance came to be realized. Hiscox co-authored the study on the fossilized brain. In his initial email to me, Martin asked if I'd ever heard of dinosaur brain cells being preserved in the fossil record. Hiscox recalls, I knew exactly what he was getting at. I was amazed to hear this coming from a world-renowned expert like him. Before his untimely passing, Brazier coordinated the research into the brown pebble with Dr. David Norman from the University of Cambridge. The discovery of the fossilized soft tissue, particularly brain tissue, is a very rare phenomenon. Co-author Alex Liu, or Lai, from Cambridge's Department of Earth Science notes, the brain is presumed to have belonged to a species similar to an Ignudodon, whatever, a giant herbivore that existed approximately 133 million years ago. What we think happened is that this particular dinosaur died in or near a body of water, and its head ended up partially buried in the sediment at the bottom, Norman said in the statement. Since the water had little oxygen and was very acidic, the soft tissue of the brain were likely preserved and cast before the rest of its body was buried in the sediment. Now, presumptions and assumptions, right? What we think happened, that 133 million years ago, this dinosaur died. And I don't know if it got intoxicated, drunk, but apparently it died in, and possibly near, a body of water, and its head ended up partially buried in the sediment at the bottom, Norman said in his statement. Since the water had little oxygen, because we'd know this, we knew how much water was in or near that lake 133 million years ago, we know that because, well, we're scientists and we went to Oxford and Cambridge and we were taught to tell you dumbasses anything we want. You're stupid enough to believe us. And we've got certificates hanging on our wall to prove that we're smarter than you are. And we can tell you any dumbass thing we want and somebody's going to print it and or believe it. Since the water had little oxygen, it was very acidic, you'd know that, the soft tissues of the brain were likely, not for sure, but likely preserved and cast before the rest of its body was buried in the sediment. Which sediment? The sediment near the lake or the sediment in the lake? Well, I don't know, we're just presuming this shit, but we're experts, so you're supposed to believe us. This is the same kind of garbage language that they puke out at people constantly over vaccines, over raw milk, over climate change, over anything. They just make this shit up. Now, this dinosaur was supposed to live 133 million years ago. The word dinosaur didn't exist until 1841. There was no such word as dinosaur till 1841. So how in the hell was this dinosaur around 133 million years ago? Total lunacy, but it gets printed. And that's why I'm saying we need to maybe go about this a little bit differently. Maybe we need to sue every single major newspaper, major TV station, major movie house, every university for deception, which is fraud. And fraud is against the law. Now, here we have a beachgoer. It must be dinosaur week, isn't it? A beachgoer discovers a 130-million-year-old dinosaur footprints. Now, these guys are really good because the last dinosaur story is the dinosaur brain, which was near or in the lake. That was 133 million years ago. But this beachgoer discovers a 130-million-year-old dinosaur footprints. Not 131 or 2. 133 was the brain, but 130 is the footprint. After a hot summer, where are you at here? Okay. Bindi Lee Porth was picking up shells along Cable Beach around sunset when he stepped right into the 130-year-old tracks of a 4-meter-long carnivorous dinosaur. I went to put my foot down, and the best way I could describe it is that I felt very strong energy, Porth told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, which is the same as the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, which is the same as the British Broadcasting Corporation. These are all communist broadcasting systems set up, or propaganda systems set up, as our nation's most important broadcasting corporations, paid for by the people in those nations to keep the people in those nations informed. No, to ply them with propaganda is what they do. When I'd taken my foot slightly off, I could see a bit of a hole, and I thought, well, is that ever a little bit weird, eh? Porth explained. So I just sort of brushed all the sand away, and it's revealed this beautiful bird-like foot. Tourists and locals had gathered to watch the sunset over the Indian Ocean along, what do we got here, when Porth made the discovery. Let's see. Broome's coastline was made famous for million-year-old dinosaur footprints that span more than 150 kilometers from Rosebuck Bay to Dampier Peninsula, ABC reports. Porth's discovery was unique, however, because of how exposed the tracks were to Cable Beach's tourist area, loaded with resorts, stores, and travelers. That's why I thought, no, they couldn't have been real, because there'd be signs of some sort of notification to let people know these prints are here, Porth told ABC. His discovery was the first time these specific tracks have been reported since 1974. According to Dr. Stephen Salisbury, paleontologist and senior lecturer with the School of Biological Sciences at the University of Queensland, the tracks were made in a specific rock that preserved footprints over thousands of millennia. It seems like the area was part of a vast river plain flowing into a delta, so there were lots of species that were conducive to the preservation of dinosaur tracks. Salisbury, who is also the lead on a study of the dinosaur tracks along Broome's coastline, found the discovery to be quite impressive, ABC notes. This is a very exciting development, having someone beachcombing to come along tracks like this. This is what makes the Broome area and the dinosaur coast so special. Now, I was taught in school that This is too amazing. You have to excuse me. See the blood vessels of an 80-year-old, 80-million-year-old dinosaur. And Alaska's Lost World was home to cold weather dinosaurs. I don't know if they have fur coats or what. And the researchers solved the PEI dinosaur fossil mystery. Here's how. Now, I was taught that the oil in the ground, when I was in school, the oil in the ground was actually decomposing dinosaurs. So they called them fossil fuels. And so we must have had a shitload of dinosaurs because we've been pumping an awful pile of oil for the last few hundred years. But apparently, I guess my teachers weren't exactly telling me the truth about oil. But then the scientists told them that's where the oil came from. And of course, we're always supposed to believe the scientists. And that's, I think, a big part of our problem here is that we believe these jackasses whose main job is to manipulate and deceive. And they certainly do a bang-up job of it because an awful lot of people tend to believe what the scientists have to say. Without question, everything scientists have known about dinosaurs, a new species of cold weather dino discovered in Alaska that is now the northernmost dinosaur ever known. 69 million years ago, this week, Earth was a much warmer place with temperatures roughly 10 degrees higher than they are today. Well, wait a minute. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. And the Earth didn't die? Everything on the Earth didn't die? I'm told if we reach 2 degrees Celsius over the next 100 years, the world's over. But, you know, the scientists, they just babble this shit out. And accordingly to this, 69 million years ago, and they would know because they're scientists, that Earth was a much warmer place with temperatures roughly 10 degrees Celsius higher than they are today. But even then, the northern reaches of what is now North America were thought to be too cold to support a population of reptilian dinosaurs. But hey, a new discovery is challenging that idea. As researchers from Florida State University and the University of Alaska Fairbanks have presented a new species of duck-billed dinosaur known as the nobody, not even a scientist could pronounce this horseshit, but in brackets, ancient, it means the ancient grazer of the Colville River in the local Inuit language. According to researchers, the Akalakapikapu, Kakakakapika Inanisisis could grow to about 10 meters in length, walked on two legs, and grazed on plants which it ground up using the roughly 1,400 teeth in its mouth. What we're finding is basically this lost world of dinosaurs with many new forms completely new to science. FCU Professor of Biological Science Gregory Exercisen said in a statement, "Although related to dinosaur species that lived in warmer climates, especially the Edmontonius Saurus, I guess that's the saurus living in Edmonton, a dinosaur in Edmonton, whose remains have been found in Alberta, Montana, and South Dakota, this other one appears to have lived and thrived in a region with an average annual temperature of around 6 degrees Celsius and likely saw months of snowy winter weather. Based on their far north habitat and the differences found between these species and species further south, Eric and his colleagues believe that the whatever it's called may have been adapted for Arctic living. Well, wait a minute. They told us that the climate change scientists told us that the species would die off because they wouldn't be able to be accommodated for the 2 degrees Celsius increase in temperature over the next 100 years. But here we have dinosaurs living in Alaska. And they say they adapted to the climate. But somehow everything that's on the Earth today will die if we go 2 degrees Celsius over the next 100 years. All of these people should be thrown in jail. Every single teacher that teaches a shit in the school should be thrown in jail. Every teacher that opens their mouth and says, today, class, we're going to learn about the impending doom of climate change, should be thrown in jail. Every politician that opens their mouth and says, we're fighting climate change, first of all, should be punched in the face and then thrown in jail. All of this nonsense about environment and species and everything else is nothing more than, as Warburg said, a mechanism, a global problem that only can be solved at the global level. We need mechanisms that we can do this. And environment was the mechanism chosen. And climate change. And CO2 emissions, because it's a global problem. Now we just crack up the propaganda, and the people around the globe will believe the idiot scientists, and then we can have our world order. Anyways, back to this story. Dinosaur fossils have been found in regions further to the north than the east, specifically the Hadasaur bones discovered on Heiberg Island in Nunavik. While those retain the title of northernmost discovery, this new find becomes the species that actually live further north than any other one found so far. This is due to difference in orientation of modern-day North America versus the North America from around 70 million years ago. Right. Let's see why. But that is only because the continent has rotated counterclockwise due to the shifting and jostling of the plate of tectonics. Back then, both Alaska and Axel Heiberg Island were farther to the east, but Alaska was farther north of the two locations. This makes the, whatever this dinosaur is called, the species that lived farthest north for any known species so far. The finding of dinosaurs this far north challenges everything we thought about dinosaurs. Right. It creates this natural question. How did they survive up here? Well, I don't know. Snowshoes and a good bottle of scotch, maybe. Who knows? But I'm sure a story will come up sometime that these particular dinosaurs had snowshoe-like feet and apparently drank a lot of liquor. Keep warm. From here, the researchers will continue to dig in the fossil-rich Prince Creek Formation, exposing fossil specimens from 13 different dinosaur species that have estimated to bury in sediments there. Now, God, I hate scientists. You know, there's no way that you can go back 133 million or 130 million or 70 million or 80 million and come to any logical conclusion. You can't do it. But they do it. They presume. They make assumptions. Did you know there's a chance you actually drank dinosaur urine? That's true. According to the scientists again, it just makes me want to throw up, because all of this stuff filters into children's brains, just like they told me that oil came from rotting dinosaurs. And that's why it's called fossil fuels. And, you know, you'd think a teacher would say, geez, there must have been a hell of a pile of dinosaurs. If oil came from dinosaurs, how come there was never a gas station called Dinosaurus? Why is that? It's absolutely phenomenally amazing that this stuff is allowed to be printed. Now, if I look crooked if I say anything about any group of people, or I bitch about Israel, or I say something negative about the Jews, or the influx of Islam into the West, I'm immediately labeled a racist, a white supremacist, a threat to society in general. But these scientists can blow whatever bullshit they want out their faces, and the media picks it up and prints it. Now, who's really creating the hate crime here? Well, the scientists and the media, because who is, according to them, harming the planet? Well, you and I. Now, unless they can prove it, they should all be held liable. They should all be taken to court, every damn last one of them. Just makes sense. Now, I was told that oil came from rotting dinosaurs when I was a child in school. But now, apparently, I didn't just fill up my car on rotting dinosaurs. It says here, there's a chance that I drank dinosaur urine. And they're going to tell me why. And this is from May 30th, 2015. Although it may be filtered, there's a chance your water could have passed through a dinosaur. While most of the water molecules in an 8-ounce glass of water have never been drunk by another human, science group Curious Minds argues almost every single molecule has been drunk by a dinosaur. A video explaining this theory was recently published by Curious Minds on YouTube. Humans consume a lot of water, but our species hasn't had the numbers or time to process a large portion of the Earth's water, the video explains. Dinosaurs, on the other hand, had a long time to drink water. Wait a minute, I thought it was us humans that were drinking all the water. I heard that there was too many humans and they were depleting our water system, and too many people, and they're eating all the food, and too many people, they're breathing all the air. But according to science, humans consume a lot of water, but our species hasn't had the numbers or time to process a large portion of the Earth's water. Well, that goes totally against the grain of the environmental movement. But then again, humans are fictional, and species puts us as animals. So the whole story, none of this story holds water. It's all bullshit, and that's just the way it is. So the dinosaurs, on the other hand, had a lot of time to drink water. So maybe our cars aren't running on oil at all, dinosaur oil. Maybe they're actually running on dinosaur water byproducts. Maybe that's where the water car came from. Anyways, the Mesozoic era, the reign of the dinosaurs lasted around 186 million years. Give or take, whatever, because we just throw these stupid numbers out. But that's what the video states. Unlike humans who have been on Earth for a small fraction of the time, it is likely dinosaurs drunk all of the water available back then. Thus, it's possible every drop of water on Earth passed through this prehistoric species. This is not the first time this theory has come about. We're very touchy about reusing water. We're very touchy about reusing wastewater. Ah, there you go. Here's what we're doing. We're very touchy about reusing wastewater, and I think we need to sort of think differently about that. All of the water on Earth has been through a dinosaur's kidney. Every bottle of even new drink is from Tyrannosaurus Rex P., Charles Fishman, author of The Big Thirst, The Secret Life and Turbulent Future of Water, told Marketplace.org. All the water on Earth has been here for 4.5 billion years. It's all toilet to tap at some level. Now, this particular story is right attached to the fact that the United Nations globalist corporate thugs want everyone to reduce their water consumption by 75%, particularly in the West. And their deal is they're going to sell off your water to the corporations, the global corporations, and then they are going to force you to use less water, the same way they're forcing you to use less electricity by ever increasing the price until you can't afford to use it, and that's the plan on getting you to use less water. And there's big talk about, why are we wasting all this water when we can reuse the wastewater or the gray water that you wash your dishes in or have a shower in there, so on and so forth. So, while apparently, I don't know exactly how many dinosaurs lived on the Earth, it doesn't say, but apparently a hell of a pile of them, because according to this scientific theory, the dinosaurs somehow drank every drop of water that ever landed on the Earth, and it's all been through a dinosaur kidney. So we don't have to be touchy about drinking dirty water anymore, because it's all toilet to tap at some level. And we can thank the dinosaurs again for cluing us into that. What else we got here? I'm loving this. A weird new dinosaur was found by a 7-year-old. Well, let's see what we got here. I find this more comforting tonight than yammering on about police stories than that, so I'm just going to hang with this. April 28, 2015, newly discovered dinosaur species in Chile has experts scratching their little heads. Though closely related to the famous carnivore Tyrannosaurus rex, the new dinosaur appears to have preferred plants. Scientists are calling the Chileanosaurus, or whatever, a platypus-type species because it possessed a strange combination of characteristics seemingly made up from a variety of different dinosaur groups. For example, it had a small skull with hands and fingers similar to the T-Rex, but its feet closely resembled long-necked dinosaurs. The species name is a nod to the country in which it was discovered, and references Diego Cerez, the 7-year-old boy who discovered the fossil remains south of Chilean in rocks deposited approximately 145 million years ago during the Jurassic period. Diego was there with his geologist parents who were studying rocks in the area. According to a press release from the University of Birmingham, the boy stumbled on the rocks while he and his sisters were searching for decorative stones. The dinosaur's strange combination of characters had experts initially believe he had discovered several separate species, but more than a dozen Chilisaurus species have since been excavated. The study will force paleontologists to take more care in the future in the identification of isolated dinosaur bones. And so you probably drank some of that one's pee as well. Alberta fisherman snag a rare dinosaur, but I like this. A new frog species found in Costa Rica looks like Kermit. Well, of course it would. And if man doesn't get off the planet soon, all of these weird, wonderful things will exist no more. I mean, one of my favorite stories, we were talking about it today a little bit, it was about moose. And we have the A-to-A, the Algonquin to Adirondack thoroughfare for migrating animals so that they don't have to go through your town or whatever. And so they're making this big clear stretch and moving everybody out of there so that these animals from Algonquin Park in mid-northern Ontario to the Adirondacks won't be impeded in any way in their travels. So there was a story I mentioned a while back about, I think it was Annie the Moose, who was from the Adirondacks, and apparently they collared the moose or something and found it, I believe it was 3 years later, up at Algonquin Park, dead. But they didn't bother to mention the stories. Moose don't migrate. And this is what I love about science. You know, here's Annie the Moose from the Adirondacks has made her way all the way to Algonquin Park and was found dead there 3 years later. Now, moose don't migrate. So how in the hell did the moose get from the Adirondacks to Algonquin Park? Good question. But you never have these questions come up in these stories. These people that write these stories have been writing and says, well, wait a minute, moose don't migrate. No, no, they just fire out that propaganda at people. A new species of glass frog has been discovered on the Caribbean slopes of Costa Rica. That in itself is exciting, but what makes this find even more interesting is the fact that it bears a close resemblance to Kermit the Frog. The frog, which has been named after the senior author in the study, was spotted at three different sites between 400 and 900 meters above sea level. This frog has a translucent belly that makes its internal organs visible and big white eyes that bear a close resemblance to one of the world's most famous Muppets. Scientists says that all its call sounds more like an insect than a frog. The last time a glass frog species was noted in the area was in 1973. And good old Morris Strong had a university in Costa Rica, which he used, he stole the money from Ontario Hydro in order to build this thing. So I guess it's a shout out to Morris Strong. Maybe Morris came back as Kermit the Frog. Who knows? It could happen because anything can happen in the world of science, which, of course, is mostly fiction. People say, well, no, no, it's real science. Well, be careful how you say that. Okay, here we have it. This is the big one I've been waiting for. New human species found in China. And this is from 2015 as well. An ancient fossil discovered at the bottom of the seafloor in China near Taiwan may be from a previously unknown species of human, researchers say. The discovery has led researchers to believe there may have been several groups of now existent human species that lived in Asia prior to the emergence of the modern Homo sapien approximately 40,000 years ago. The fossil, a nearly complete lower jaw with teeth, was retrieved by a fishing net 120 meters below the surface of the Penghu Channel. It has been dubbed Penghu 1. The fisherman who found it sold it to an antique shop, and it was eventually submitted to Taiwan's Museum of Natural Sciences. An examination of the fossil suggests that the scientists are going to make up a whole lot of shit about it. My thought on that one. An examination of the fossil suggests an unclassified species of human lived in parts of northern China between 60,000 and 120,000 years ago, although scientists say the jaw and teeth look unexpectedly primitive, according to Live Science. Science also working with the theory the fossil may have been the result of interbreeding between two known human species. Researchers say they don't have enough information to determine if Penghu 1 represents a new species of human. We need other skeletal parts to evaluate the degree of its uniqueness, the study co-author Kafu from Japan's National Museum of Natural Science told Live Science. This is a very different, complex, and exciting story compared to what I was taught in school. A detailed write-up on the findings was published today in Nature Communications. Other ancient ancestors of modern human discovered in Asia include Neanderthals, our closest relatives, and Homo erectus and whatever else. So we have new humans. This is boggles the mind, man. A 300 million year old lizard like fossil found by a Prince Edward Island boy right here in Canada fills gap in evolutionary chain. So I guess they got it all figured out now, eh? Not. And, man, they really pounded this shit out in 2015 because these stories I'm looking at all seem to be from around 2015. A Nova Scotia researcher says a fossil of a reptile found by a boy on Prince Edward Island is one of the only reptiles in the world ever found from its time. Drumroll, because I've discussed 133-year-old, million-year-old dinosaurs, 130-million-year-old, 80 million years old, 70-million-year-old, but this one is 300 million years ago, found by a child, a young boy, on Prince Edward Island. The fossilized species has been named whatever after the family of Michael Arsenal of Prince Edward Island, who found the fossil embedded in a sandstone rock along the shore in Egmont Bay, said a study published this week in the Proceedings of Royal Society Biological Scientists. The lizard-like creature, about 25 centimeters long, is the oldest known example of paraptile, a type of reptile that emerged long before dinosaurs, and which some researchers argue could be distant ancestors to the turtles. It must be neat to be a scientist, you know. They have imagination, right? But you see, the scientists thought, the scientists, that's what you never, they make up these stupid names for things that nobody can pronounce. Because it's the jargon of the scientists, just like the jargon of the lawyers, just like the jargon of the priests, just like the jargon of the doctors, just like the jargon of the universities. And it's a language to use to be deceptive and gain advantage, right? It's all these things made up in the mind. None of it's real. It's made up in the mind. They're concepts. That's what they're promoting here, concepts. And you'd be accepted to be conned, I guess. It's a con game. And that's why you can't understand their language, because you're not supposed to. Because if these people were talking straight, they wouldn't be able to deceive you. And that's exactly what they're doing, the whole damn works of them. If they're using anything other than normal language, then they're deceiving you and they're gaining an upper hand. But all of these things, all of these jargons, they use concepts. They use things made up in their mind. When you read all these stories, whether it be global warming or vaccines or whatever it is, these are all things made up in the mind. None of it's real. This specimen, according to this, is really rare. Who was a principal investigator of the project. It's the only specimen we know of from this particular part of the Carboniferous, and it's the only reptile of that from that slice of time. He adds that the fossil is the closest and the oldest relative that has ever been found of a group of early reptiles known as whatever. The researchers say the finding gives a hint that reptiles at the end of the Carboniferous era were more diverse than considered before. And so on and so forth. So this little boy in PEI found this marvelous 300-million-year-old reptile. And this gets, he found a rock with a mark in it. And the scientists just took it from there, right? And make up so much shit. It's ridiculous. And yet people, I mean, this kind of garbage is printed in the scientific magazines as if it's real. It's not. It's bullshit. Just like global warming is bullshit. Okay? Absolute garbage, deception, fraud. And they're using these things to mess with people's minds and get them to accept somehow that if they don't continue to listen to the scientists and do as the politicians say, then the world is going to implode on itself. All bull crap. And people got to quit listening to these clowns, and we got to start suing them, punch them in the mouth every time they open up with one of these presumptive concept stories. Until they shut up. And we can go back to living our lives the way they were meant to be lived. Cause no harm, hurt no one, and live your life, work together, and so on and so forth. And we're going to get back there someday, I hope. And until then, we just got to hold these clowns' feet to the fire. I think we're going to run into some music now. You may not enjoy the show tonight, but I did, because I haven't read nothing about dinosaurs for a long time, and I'm really sick of politics. So that's the show for tonight. Like it or not, that's what we did tonight. And I certainly hope not.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social slime. They
everybody
don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money they don't care. Caesarship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for the mob. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids. No one makes guns.